Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
California love. In New York, Mark Khanna coming over from California, leaving the Oakland A's and joining the Metropolitans. Now, what I'm reading on Twitter and seeing out there, not to keep referencing Twitter, but that's where I'm getting a lot of the reaction and information from. I saw, you know, Mets pitcher Taijuan Walker write, "Man, I couldn't be more excited to have my boy Escobar with us. Hands down, one of the best teammates I've ever had. Mets fans are going to love him. Welcome, my friend." And then I also saw someone write about Khanna that these are, you know, both of these signings are good signings. George Morales wrote, "Good move by the Mets. Mets need depth because of the injury bug that always hits us. These guys can step up when we need them. Also good clubhouse guys." So maybe it's deeper than just a couple guys that are, you know, available and at a good price point. Maybe these are good clubhouse guys. This is an attempt to change the culture some, maybe mend up the clubhouse. I don't know. I don't follow the Mets as closely as I'm definitely going to now, but I remember last year there were some issues. There was like rats or raccoons. There was some fighting. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to get some guys in the clubhouse to make it more wholesome, more family-like, and maybe that will start with Escobar and Khanna. Back to the phones we go. I think we're going to switch it up a little bit. Gregory in Auburn would like to talk Yanks, and I would like to talk Yanks with you as well. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's up? How are you, Ben?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm sad because the Yankees haven't made a move yet, but I have been thinking, since you have this Javi Baez, like, Detroit Tiger thinking and everything else, so my personal thing is they would be out, like, out of the big market shortstops. What if, because I am not a fan of Corey Seager, of course, what would our, if we go like a Correa, could we also go like a, do we have the cap room to go a Freeman if, because he's not signed technically with Atlanta? Or are we, if we go Correa, we have to go like Rizzo or Olsen?
Yeah, I don't think you can go, both of those guys are going to command so much money. I don't think the Yankees can go and get both. I mean, it's one thing to go over the luxury tax. It's another thing to blow completely by it. And the Yankees already have Garrett Cole. The Yankees already have Giancarlo Stanton. Those are two $300 million contracts, and that's what Freddie Freeman and Correa are looking for. They're looking for around that. So I don't think we could sign both of those. I don't think we sign either Correa or Freeman. But no, there's almost no chance that we sign both.
So if we don't – what do you think the chances are we sign either one of the Correa or Freeman?
I think Correa is higher. I can't put a percentage on it because I really have the belief that that's not happening, but I think there's percentage points higher for Correa than Freeman. I think they're both under 25%. Let's say Freeman is 5%. Correa is 15 in my book if I'm putting it out there. I just don't think either one of them come here. I think Freddie stays where he is. I think there's a chance Correa stays where he is, too, if the Astros go ahead and fork over the money. But I think he's looking for more years, more money, and I don't think he's going to get it in New York. I don't know. You talked about shifting to, you know, if you land Correa, then, you know, you pay the shortstop what you pay him. Then, you know, you got to get a cheaper first baseman. Rizzo is an option. There's also the option for a trade. I don't know. I wish, you know, the first thing you said was you're kind of mad because the Yankees – haven't made moves. I'm not so much mad. I just am tired of waiting and wish I could know, you know, who we're rolling with going into this next season. Like, who's it going to be? There's just so many possibilities right now in the infield and in the outfield. You know, I'm just ready to get there.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm like, what direction are we going to go in? Are we going the stoppage gap? Because I've heard that so many times. And I've heard.
Yeah.
Or are we just going to go full-blown, spend the money, win it now, and then worry about later?
It's going to get interesting. You know, this December 2nd date is coming up. Hot stove starts, and the winter meetings aren't long after that. And then, obviously, the CBA negotiation. December is going to be an interesting month for baseball. Kudos to the Mets making their moves tonight. Yankee fans would love to see something, but it's a different game for us. It's a different game for Brian Cashman and our organization right now with the needs that we have to fill and the money that we're probably going to have to spend to fill those needs. We're not so much making the moves to get a Escobar or a Cano right now. I think we're negotiating with the bigger fish first and figuring out, you know, where we have to pivot if we can't land the big fish.
Do you think Marte's going to start, like, Starling Marte for center field to be in the question? Because, you know, I love his speed on the base pass. I love him as an outfielder.
Sure, I think he's definitely in the conversation. I'm sure we're definitely checking on him. I would love to see him play for the Yankees. I think we should have tried to get him at the deadline, but depends on what he's looking for, what his agent's looking for. Again, with him being 33, how many years is he looking for? How much money is he going to command? I definitely don't think we should go into next season and bank on Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks to play center field alongside Gallo and left and Judge and right. I think there's got to be a guy that we can count on to be the everyday center fielder, and then you got you know, Hicks and Gardy available if someone needs rest or somebody goes down. And I'm already assuming that Gardy is back. So.
Are you like one of them people that want Gardner back, or is he like?
Don't get me wrong. I'm a big Gardner fan. I love Brett Gardner for what he's done here, but I'm ready to move on. Earlier in the show, I said, if you want to go places you've never gone, you got to do things you've never done. And the Yankees have never said, Brett, we're done. You know, that's it. And I love Gardy. I wore Gardy's jersey to a bunch of games. I defended him online. I'm a big Gardy fan because I've literally seen him day in and day out put in the work and hustle and make big plays and hit home runs for the Yankees. And he's the last from our championship team, our last World Series team. He is the last. So I love Brett Gardner. But as a Yankee fan, I want to go where we haven't been able to go with these guys. So we got to do things differently, and we got to go ahead and tell Brett Gardner, hey, it's over, man. We got to get some better guys on the bench.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, we have to let him go. We have to go in the direction of let's win now and worry about later when later comes.
Yeah, it's time to turn the page with Brett Gardner. Thanks for the call, Greg. It's time to turn the page because it's like this. It's like, you know, if you keep doing the same things and expecting different results, it's another thing with the fan base, right? You know, making a hire or signing a player that some fans are going to celebrate when it's actually done. Yeah, Gardy's back. There's going to be a pocket of Yankee fans that would love to see Brett Gardner give it one more go. One more year, number 11. Our guy, the guard dog. Brett Gardner. But then there's another pocket of fans that are going to be like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Brett Gardner is on the team, and you know he's going to end up starting some games in center. He's going to lead off some games. He's going to be in big moments. What are we doing? Have we not seen enough? I think it's time to move on, and we're going to move on from the Yankee talk back to the Mets talk. I'm fine with it. Jeff in Springfield, New Jersey, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, I love your show. I've listened for a couple nights. I'm really, really pumped.
Awesome.
The program, and best of luck to you, man.
Thank you.
I have a very interesting perspective on this Escobar signing. First of all, I think it's a great signing, but I think this is a message that they're taking some of the power back from Lindor. Everyone knows him and Baez were best friends. Mm-hmm. The dynamics between them and two in the clubhouse could have been the root cause of some of the division. I also think that it could potentially have been another Cespedes situation where he was on his best behavior auditioning for a contract, and then God forbid we signed him, you know, we'd have a lazy, lethargic person on our hands. What's your take on this?
So you think Baez is good as gone? You think, you know, this Escobar move?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is a preemptive strike to tell us that we're moving in another direction.
Okay. I kind of think that, too. I kind of think that decisions have been made. You know, the thumbs down incident last year, right then and there, I'm like, there's no way Bias comes back. But they were able to move past that. Yeah. They won some games. That was right around the time of the Subway Series. I remember going to Citi Field to watch the Yankees lose. We lost 2 out of 3. And they moved past it. But, yeah, I think I'm kind of leaning that way with you, that, hey, when they sign a guy that can play multiple positions in the infield, third base, second base, he might be a guy that's there as insurance right now in case Javi goes elsewhere, or if they don't have any intentions of signing Javier Baez back.
Agreed.
And you'd be fine with that. As a Mets fan, you'd be fine with, you know.
I'm thrilled.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Thrilled. I was terrified of the idea of signing Baez. I see Cespedes happening all over again. A guy auditioning for a big contract, you give it to him, and then, you know, the old behaviors come back.
Yeah. And Baez is is a lot, and him paired with Lindor is definitely a lot.
Yep. Thank you. I agree with you.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. We got more Mets callers on the line. They're lining up. Rosenberg, I know you're a Mets fan. I see all these Mets fans calling, and I'm taking the calls. Chris from Port Jefferson, Port Jeff, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Keith? Welcome to the Fan, brother.
Thanks, I appreciate it. It has been a blast so far. Happy to be here.
Word, love it. But no, I just wanted to make some points about the Mets signings. When I see these two signings, I think they're just trying to clean up the locker room. Honestly, two seasoned vets, 32-year-old vets who've been in the game for a little bit, who've won, who've been in the playoffs before. So when I see these two signings, I think of cleaning up that locker room and possibly saving money for a big signing, you know, whether it's pitching or Starlin Marte or even Castellanos or Bryant.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's something that I picked up on from Twitter. Like I said, George Morales said something about Cana. And Taiwan Walker said something about Escobar. I'm like, okay, so read between the lines. What are these guys' reputations? What do we know about them? These are solid individuals. These are solid guys. These are guys that aren't just veterans that can play multiple positions. These are good ball players and good guys to have in your clubhouse. So the Mets are going for a little bit of a culture change.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody who's played sports knows that, you know, when you have that, you know, commodity in the clubhouse or, you know, in the locker room. Wherever
chemistry. They throw the chemistry word around a ton in sports. It's necessary. Guys got to gel and got to, you know, at least like each other to go out there and go to war for each other.
And that's why these two moves to start off the offseason, I think it's great. I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's nothing, you know, nothing sexy, but I like it.
I like it too. Thanks for the call, Chris. I like it too for the Mets because you know what it is? It's the Mets beating other teams to the punch. There are other teams. There's a ton of other teams. There's another team in this city where the fans are like, yo, please do something. Make a move. Do anything to improve the team. Clock is ticking. And Mets fans, you're not one of those teams right now. There are plenty of teams in MLB that need to get better that didn't win as many games as you did, and they're not making moves. Right now, the Mets are saying, we're making moves, and there are more moves to come. And we're also making moves that don't just shore up our lineup, our defense, but also shore up the relationships in our locker room. These are character guys. These are solid guys. Next up on the Fan is Mike in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? And welcome. I want to say something about Epler. He's taking a page out of his 2009 experience with the Yankees. They signed Nick Swisher to be the first baseman that year, and everybody thought, oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a placeholder until they spent $500 million on a guy named Teixeira,
yep,
Burnett, and Sabathia,
yep,
and they moved Swisher to the outfield. Then about 3 years ago, we did a similar thing where they signed a guy they didn't think they needed, same age as Escobar, 2 years, 24. Turns out his name is DJ LeMahieu.
Yep.
And so these are moves that you got to let the fruit ripen. I mean, right now everybody's seeing green tomatoes, but let them ripen, and this could turn out to be really necessary. Look what LeMahieu turned into, and look how versatile Swisher turned out to be for 4 years, and you still had all the big stars walking right behind him, and the owner spent money. Epler was there to see it all, and one of the things Epler said when they first interviewed him a week ago was his regret about the Angels' time was he was not quickly aggressive enough on free agents. And I think that's why you're seeing him jump in and grab people, because he learned from his own mistakes, which is a good sign about a man's character.
Ding, 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 ding. I wish I had a sound effect, Mike. You great call. You just hit that right on the head.
Well, glad to be able to do it. And I'm a Yankee fan.
Right.
But this makes sense for the city, and it's going to be great when the Subway Series turns out to be competitive again.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. As a Yankee fan, we can share our perspective. You know, we can share a different perspective. And as a Yankee fan that, you know, like myself, I don't hate the Mets. And I think there's a lot of Yankee fans that don't hate the Mets. And like Mike just said, this is good for the city. We want to see the Mets do well. And making these moves early, beating other teams to the punch, getting good quality guys that are known as good teammates, and getting them for a price point that's not breaking the bank, that's smart business and smart baseball. Mark Canha is a two-year deal with an option worth $26.5 million. You look at Escobar, he's 2 years, $20 million. You got two good character guys that can play multiple positions, and together they're going to cost you $46 million over the course of 2 to 3 years. And these are just the appetizers. This is just the beginning. These are just the first moves of the Billy Epler, Steve Cohen era. Literally in the same week, it's Friday, they're closing the week strong, their first week of working together strong. And I think Mets fans have more to be excited about and look forward to coming in this offseason. But these are two solid pickups. Nothing to be mad about. Nothing I would even say don't even read into it and say like, oh, this is probably it, or this is all they're going to do. No, the last caller just basically showed you the other side of the coin with the Yankees, right? When we signed DJ LeMahieu, I remember Yankee fans crying and saying, oh, well, now we're definitely out on Manny Machado. Fine, so be it. Look what DJ turned into. He was in the running for MVP back-to-back years. And we got him, like the last caller said, 2 years at $24 million. And Yankee fans were looking at that as like, okay, like, what's this guy going to be? He didn't even have a spot. He came over here, he didn't even have a starting position. He didn't start on opening day. He was the first guy up when the next man up stuff started. So, you know, and even going back to the comment about Swisher, I literally knew where he was going with that. Because you got Swisher, and the next thing you know, you get to Teixeira. Swisher goes to the outfield, and Swisher is a glue guy, a locker room guy, an energy guy, a good guy to have in your clubhouse. Got more calls. Robbie and Lennox, you're on the Fan.
Keith, is a 34-year call to this station. Welcome aboard, and congratulations and continued success. I hope things go well for you. You know, I just want to say before I talk about my Yankees, I wanted to ask you a question. Where did you grow up in New York?
I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh, in Jersey, what part?
Monmouth County. So I grew up down the shore, exit 105. Okay. I grew up in Ocean Township, Long Branch, okay. Asbury Park area.
Oh, nice, right on the water. Yeah, I lived in Fort Lee as a kid, but then we moved to Westchester, so I grew up in Port Chester, going to Yankee games my whole life, so I just live up in the Berkshires now. But actually, so anyway, about the Yanks. Okay, now, I have not been a huge Catchman guy over the last, you know, so forth, what, 10-plus years, because of the fact that I feel that this organization has not built players from within the organization, with maybe the exception of a guy like Aaron Judge. And obviously, there's a lot of questions about Gary Sanchez and his future and what they want to do with him and so forth. But Judge has really been the solidified piece to this, you know, farm system, say, you know, and so forth. But my problem is next year, I mean, I'm not a big Aaron Hicks fan, but I would like to see Esteban Florial get a chance to play center field for this team. We've been hearing about this kid for 4 or 5 years. It's time to get him up here, let him play, let him see what he can do. And again, you know, they have to address athleticism on this team. Now, you just talked about DJ. You take a guy like a Sterling Marte or a guy, a young guy like an Esteban Florial, if he plays well, you put a speed guy in front of DJ LeMahieu, now you're talking about getting runs and manufacturing runs and not just relying on a home run.
Right.
So if I'm Brian Cashman, I'm going out to get athletes and guys that make contact, because I am sick and tired of the strikeouts and the home runs. I really am. I'm tired of the way baseball plays. You mentioned Brett Gardner. Look, I like Brett Gardner too, but let him, if they want to keep him in the organization, make him a coach, okay? Because I think he'd be a really fine coach for this organization. But to me, when you have a less than, and I don't believe so much in OPS, we have a 700 OPS and less than that though, and when you're hitting 220, and when you don't even try to lay down a bunt once in a while and use your speed and slap the ball to the left side and you're constantly pulling the ball into the shift, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
And when you hit 220, it's time to retire. That's it. I'm sorry. I think there's not enough emphasis on average anymore. It's OPS, OPS this, and I think it's ridiculous when guys are playing and hitting 220, hitting 215, And guys are being paid, and guys are all-stars, like, what's his name, the guy, the catcher from Tampa Bay, and he's getting hit in 195, and he's an all-star. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but I wanted to talk about the Rangers for a moment. They're the best team right now in New York, and they're going great, and Igor Shesterkin right now should definitely be up for, you know, candidate for right now. To me, he's the most valuable player in the league right now as far as his goaltending goes, and they had a great game.
Yeah.
But are you a hockey guy at all? Or are you
So when I was very young, I liked the Rangers, obviously, with Messier and Leach. Right. And then, they won it. The first year I ever watched hockey, they won it. I think that was 94.
Yeah, it was the greatest day of my life. In fact, when that night, I called up Steve, I was living in New York, PA, I was doing radio. I do a radio program up here in Western Mass. And when I called, and Steve and I just kept playing the Matogo over and over and over. So I had to wait till I was about almost 30 years old for me to get a Stanley Cup go crazy for being an Islander hater growing up. When I was in high school in the 80s, in the late 70s, early 80s, I mean, the Islanders won 4 cups in a row. Being a Ranger fan was hellish, let me tell you, Keith.
Anyway,
best of luck with everything and continued success. And Rosenberg is a great guy, man. He's the best on the other side. So thanks, Paulie. As always, you guys have a good holiday, all right?
Thanks, Robbie.
All right, God bless. You too. Yep, all right.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, so let's talk puck for a second. Now I can tell my story a little further, and then Rosie will help me out. So when I was young, I remember having rollerblades, going outside like any other kid, playing street hockey, playing NHL Live 95, 96, 97. And then as I got a little bit older, I ran into some other kids that were Devils fans, and we're in Jersey, and they're like, you can't be a Rangers fan. And I also kind of like the Devils. I think didn't the Devils win it in 95? Didn't they win it right after the Rangers won it? So for me, I'm like, oh, I like both teams. And I remember talking to a young kid that was like hard on, nah, you can't be a Rangers fan and a Devils fan. You can't like both. And then I think the NHL locked out when I was in like second or third grade, and I kind of fell off of it. I'm like, all right, well, I can't like two teams that I do like. The sport locked out and I'm too young to really understand it. And I also watch basketball, and basketball is the same season. And then since, I don't know, elementary school, I've kind of not been on the hockey as much as the basketball. It's not even close. And I would like to get back into it because I would like to be on WFAN taking calls about the Rangers, who just won 7 out of 8, who I've been watching now for research purposes. I turned on the Bruins game today. They were down 2-1, and then they came back and won it. And I'm like, oh, would you look at this? The Rangers are a pretty good team in New York that I'm sure people are going to be excited about and want to talk about. But one thing I said in the beginning on my first show was that I'm not going to come on and talk about things that I'm not well-versed in. I hate when you hear people try and pretend or try and act like they know what they're talking about with something. Just admit that's not what you're into. Just admit that you don't have the years of knowledge accumulated to be able to hold a conversation on it. I would like to take callers where you educate me and you tell me why I should be paying attention to the Rangers or the Devils. I think I saw the Devils were losing when I last looked at that score, but I'm open to it. Rosie, you're a San Jose Sharks fan, no?
No, I just have some. I have a lot of NHL swag.
You were just wearing the
merch.
Yeah,
I'm a Ranger guy.
You're a Ranger guy.
Yes.
Okay. I was completely wrong. I judged him by his apparel. He's got plenty of NHL apparel. How are you feeling about the Rangers' start so far? You think this is just a hot start?
No, I think they're good. Listen, Shesterkin is playing like really, really well. And like the easy like go-to is a hot goaltender can get you really, really far, specifically in the playoffs. Like that's an, you know, seeding doesn't really matter. When the Rangers were in the cup final against like the Kings in 13, the Kings were in 8 seed.
Yeah.
And I think they had Jonathan Quick and he was on fire and that's all you need. So if you have a hot goaltender going into the playoffs, that's really what it comes down to. But we're not there yet. The young players are really, really good. Like Lafreniere is showing up now. Kako is playing really, really well. And you have guys like, you know, Panarin and Kreider and Mika, and these guys are just really, really, really top. These are top tier guys.
Yeah.
That helps. And the coaching change clearly helped. Gerard Gallant did it. You know, he took a expansion Vegas Golden Knight team to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, he's a really, really, really good coach. So we got lucky in that respect as well.
Good. 13-4-3. The Rangers are rolling, they're winning a lot. It's not just a hot start. Might be a solid team. You know how the Garden gets when the Rangers are rocking. Those tickets are always up there. I've never been. I've actually been to a Blackhawks hockey game at the United Center at the Madhouse.
Madhouse.
And I've never been to the Rock. I've never been to see the Devils at Prudential. And I've never been to MSG and seen the Rangers play.
No, I've went to the Rock. I went to Continental Airlines when the Nets and the Devils played there.
Yep.
I've been to MSG, obviously. I've not been to the new one in Queens, the UBS, where the Islanders play.
Right.
That I have not been to yet. I want to get out there. Hockey games live, best sport live to watch.
That's what I always hear.
Best sport live. The action, it's 2.5 hours normally.
Yeah.
It's in and out. It's just awesome.
Yeah. See, the fact that you said it's all action, it's quick. It's not this like 3-4-5 hour engagement.
Right. Because when you would, I don't like going to football games because that's
all
a 12
day.
Hour day.
Yeah, you gotta
get
up
at
8.
I gotta go into the city. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I gotta pick up food. I gotta pick up drinks. Then it's a long day of drinking and this,
yep.
And I can't watch Red Zone. I can't do any bets and I can't watch. And the next thing you know, the game ends at 4:30. I'm not out of the parking lot till 6. I'm not home till 9. How is that enjoyable for anybody? I'm not even counting how much money I gotta spend there.
Yeah, it's not after a while, and if you go to enough games, it's a money drain, it's a time drain, it's an energy drain. You just want to go in, have a couple beers, yell and scream, watch a team win, and get home quickly. And I'm definitely going to go to a Devils game. I actually got my aunt got some free tickets to the Devils in January that I have access to. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it now. I got these tickets secured before I knew I'd be the night host 7 to midnight on WFAN. But I secured them thinking like, okay, I'm going to watch the Devils this year. I'm going to finally go to a game. I see the Devils lost to the Predators 4-2. Back in college, I think the Predators are a fairly new team because I remember back in college when they first like popped up on the scene, I had a roommate that would always be like repping the Predators, go Preds. And I'm like, why are you repping the Nashville team? And he ended up transferring schools and getting in, I think, to Vanderbilt. So he could be closer to the Preds. But I don't know, man. Hockey fandom is something that I feel like, you know, either you've been into it for a while, and I know people talk about the ranking of like NBA, NFL, MLB, and then hockey, NHL being fourth. And, you know, even coming into this job, I straight up told some people coming in, like friends, I'm like, man, I don't know that much puck. I gotta study. And my friends are like, oh, don't worry about hockey. No one wants to talk about hockey. I'm like, that's not true. It's definitely not true, and definitely not true in New York. So, hey, if you want to call in, 877-337-6666, tell me what I need to know. Tell me who I should be watching out for. If you're a Rangers fan, a Devils fan, an Isles fan, we've got three teams in this city. Right now I see the Penguins are up 1-0 on the Islanders. I'd like to go see their new place. I'm not against puck. I'm not against hockey. I just haven't had the time in my own fandom, in my own journey, and I guess my own conquest to turn on any hockey and root for a team. I'm NFL, I'm NBA, I'm MLB, I'm Cowboys, I'm Yankees, I'm Nets. But I got room for the Devils and also the Rangers and Isles because this is what I'll be talking about at work right here on The Fan. We'll be right back after this. This is Keith McPherson, KM to AM, 100.9 FM.
Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
We're back. I like that song. That song reminds me of Varsity Blues. That's the second time I've been on air and got a song off the Varsity Blues soundtrack. Fun fact about me, I used to watch Varsity Blues before every high school football game I ever played. I wouldn't even like make that up. That was part of the ritual. That was part of the like thing that had to happen before a game. I don't know when it started. It started my freshman year, actually.
Was your game like, what's Vanderbeek's character? Mox?
Johnny Moxon.
Johnny Mox.
Johnny Moxon. No, my game wasn't so much Johnny Moxon, but I did love that movie. I did like the fact that Johnny Moxon ended up, we did have some similarities. Johnny ended up getting his shot after the starter went down. I ended up getting my shot my sophomore year after the starter went down. And I had loved that movie because when I was, I think, 12 or 11, it came out. And my mom wouldn't let me go to the theater and watch it with my older brother. And so there was always this like intrigue. And then once I actually saw the movie and understood why I couldn't go to theaters to see it.
Whipped cream scene?
Yeah, you know, there was some things shown that probably weren't suitable for an 11, 12-year-old. But by the time I was 15, I was good to go. And I had that on DVD. I would come home on, I don't know, like a Friday. If we got a Friday night game, I would go home right after school, watch that, chill. And then get ready to go back to school for Friday night football game. Varsity Blues, forever classic, forever goated. I don't want your life. Back to the sports, New York, New York. It's Friday night. Keith McPherson right here on The Fan. Till midnight, we're halfway through. This is my second five-hour show. Appreciate you listening wherever you are, whether you're streaming on the app, whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, whether you're working. Shout out to you if you're working on this Black Friday. A lot of people back to work on Black Friday. Thanksgiving is interesting. Some people end up off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday into the whole weekend. Other people are only off Thursday, and they're right back to work Friday with the food coma or the hangover or whatever it might be, driving, working in a warehouse, or doing whatever it is you do. Shout out to you for tuning in to The Fan. Looking for some callers, looking for some more topics, looking for whatever you want to talk about. Now, we've officially spoke on hockey. We've spoke on the Mets moves. Big day for you Mets fans waiting for the Mets to make moves. They made two. We've spoken about the Yankees. The Yankees haven't made any moves, but we've had a couple Yankee fans call in. I think I started off the show talking about, you know, the rumor that Didi Gregorius could be that stopgap shortstop for your Yankees, and I came out and said, no, don't do that. Do not go backwards. Do not do the reunion and bring him back. Like, there's no need for it. I'm good on that. I've also said I'm good on Brett Gardner coming back. Not that I don't love Didi and Brett Gardner. Don't get me wrong. You can go back to my Instagram and Twitter and find plenty of love for those two guys. But I just understand that change is necessary with this club and this clubhouse. Got to move forward. And we've also spoken about Dave Gettleman and the New York Giants and Jason Garrett and what we can expect for them the rest of the season. The draft. Start thinking about the draft. There's not much to gain here in winning these last few games, but what I think Giants fans will get to see is some of their players like Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, obviously Danny Dimes, Saquon. We'll see what those guys look like without Jason Garrett up there potentially holding them back with the play calls. The Jets, we've talked about Zach Wilson. Full circle. It's coming around. You're the future. You're the guy. You're the number two pick. The season ain't over.
the way things shake out, Zach Wilson, whether you're ready to go or not, you're back on, brother. So do it. Hold it down. Go get a win against a Texans team that you can beat. There's other players on the Jets that have been playing well that will help you out. Just make the right decisions. Don't do too much. Don't think you got to make the miraculous play to win the game. Go in and manage the game. Take what they give you. Zach Wilson, get it done. The Knicks, this game is now final. We haven't spoke too much Knicks, but the Knicks played against the Suns tonight in Madison Square Garden. 118-197, they took the L to the Suns. The Suns are 16-3. And I believe the Suns have won 15 games in a row. Let me check the standings on that. Pretty sure the Suns were rolling into this New York back-to-back where they'll face the Knicks tonight, which they did, and the Nets tomorrow. They have now won 15 games, and they head to Brooklyn to face the Nets tomorrow night. I'm pumped for that. I think that's going to be more of a measuring stick game than the Steph Curry Warriors game Monday of last week. Now we'll see what the Nets look like with a healthier KD and a Nets team that's rolling as well. The Nets have won 4 in a row. The Suns have won 15 in a row, and they'll meet tomorrow night at the Clays. What else do we speak on out here? College football, college basketball. There's a ton of college basketball. The tournaments have started. Early season tournaments have started. Some upsets have already happened. Those are on your TV. College football is on your TV, some rivalry games. It's a good time for sports fans. So let's get back to the sports fans on the Fan. Let's hit the phones. Oh, we got a Rangers hockey caller, Peter in Shelter Island. You're on the Fan.
Pete, how you doing, my man?
What's up, Pete? I'm doing well.
Dude, as a kid who grew up in Jersey, lived in the Fan my whole life, man, I think it's cool to walk you aboard and listen to you for the first time.
Yeah, thanks, man. Jersey guys can be on New York radio, too. You got to work. You got to figure it out. But, Jersey guys can hold it down here.
So, I would like to talk about Rangers for a second. First of all, something to watch. You were asking. I was thinking, watch Shesterkin's glove and stick work. The guy is a stud, and he does stuff real flashy, subtle style. It's really cool to watch. If you got to, look for it.
I will. I'm literally looking at – I just clicked on his name from the box score. I don't know much about him, but if this is a guy I should study, I'll definitely pull up some of his highlights, and I'll be looking for him next time I watch the Rangers.
Absolute stud. I think he's a key to our team. And then the other thing I want to know is, do you think they're going to re-sign Strome in the offseason? Because I think he's a really important part of the team.
Yeah.
And I thank you, and I'll listen to you, and I appreciate you, and welcome aboard, my man.
Thanks, Pete. Yeah, Stroman, I think Stroman's got to be re-signed. No, I don't know. Am I wrong on that? He came to New York, and obviously Yankee fans know, how that all played out. I don't know if he thought he was coming to the Yankees or whatever. It doesn't matter at this point. He's a Met. I think he is a good pitcher. Do I think he's an ace? Do I think he's one of the best pitchers in baseball? I don't. He's definitely one of the best athletes. He makes some ridiculous plays fielding his position, and he's a competitor. His whole thing is height doesn't measure heart. He competes. He goes out there and he battles and he pitches. He's a guy that will quick pitch you. He's a guy that will trick you. He's a guy that's got a couple different pitches in his arsenal. I think Marcus Stroman, I think he's from Long Island. I think he wants to stay in New York. And I think that he's more inclined to taking a deal with the Mets, and the Mets should try and go and re-sign him. Mark, calling from Southern Mexico to talk Mets on the Fan.
Yeah, and you just took. Yeah, hey Keith, I'm glad to see that the Fan has put a man of color on the. Well, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just took. I was gonna say Marcus Stroman. I want him back, but who else besides? I bought two T-shirts. I got two T-shirts of Marcus, height don't measure heart. Who else should we get? Who else do we go for?
Gausman is a guy that's floated out there, and it's funny. I think of those two. I actually met those two while I was in the Fan Cave in New York in 2014. Gausman was with the Orioles, and Stroman was with the Blue Jays, and I'm a Yankee fan, so of course I didn't really have too much love for either one of those guys, and they end up both being stud guys that could be pitchers for the Mets this year. I don't know. I know Gausman there's a lot of talk about.
I wish he could be a Yankee. He's got good stuff.
Chris Gosman with his, I mean, his ERA was great last year, but or the last season, but not the last half of the season. So, do you go strong for him, or do you? What do you think?
I don't know. I think you can chalk up the drop off to different things. I just think he's a veteran now. He's a left-handed. He throws righty. He's a veteran pitcher. He's a guy that has been in the league for a long time that's been doing it. The little bit of drop-off we saw, I wouldn't be worried too much about. And when we're talking about the pitchers that are available to sign, Gosman is one of the top guys. I think if you put him somewhere, he bounced around a little bit. He went from Baltimore to Atlanta to Cincy, and then he played the last 2 years with the Giants. I think he's one of the top guys out there. I like his stuff.
Do you put him over Robbie Ray?
No, I can't put him over Robbie Ray. He just won a Cy Young. Robbie Ray is another guy that has been around for a while and bounced on a couple of different teams, but made his way. He just won the Cy Young over Gerrit Cole. As a Yankee fan, I'd like to see us entertain the thought of bringing Robbie Ray here. I don't think we do, but if the Mets are making these first couple moves like we just saw, as insurance, as guys that can play multiple positions for depth, and they're going after starting pitching, I'm interested to see what they do. I think Stroh is a no-brainer to bring back, and then I think you go after one of the top guys.
All right. Thank you, Keith, so much. My brother, keep on the good work.
I will. Are you on vacation in Southern Mexico? Are you
from? No, I live here. I'm a permanent resident, but I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay, cool. And you just listen to the fan because you're from Brooklyn, even if you're in Mexico.
I listen to the fan all the time. Yeah, because I can't get enough New York sports.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen down here.
Yeah, you're not getting this type of conversation in the bar down there.
Addition. You are a great addition to the lineup, and I hope that they give you more time and more work. And thank you so much for taking the call.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you. Yeah, the power of the fan. The power of the fan, and now the power of the internet. Make sure you guys have that app in your phone, the Odyssey app. You can stream the fan wherever you are. I was actually in Puerto Rico doing that, and I remember when the app was, I think it was Radio 1 I had it, but I remember someone putting me onto that. I'm like, wait, you can listen to the radio? Really? You can listen to the radio on your phone? Yeah, and if you're from Brooklyn and you happen to relocate somewhere, but you still want to hear New York talk, New York sports talk, New York conversation, people in the New York greater New York City area talk sports. It's right here on the fan. We've got another call, and I think we're going to switch gears a little bit here. Pete in Hamden, Connecticut. We're talking Jets now, huh?
Yep.
Let's do it.
I'm a New York fan. I love the Giants and the Jets. I got a bad feeling Wilson's going to throw 4 or 5 interceptions, and the Jets are going to lose by 2 or 3 touchdowns. I don't think he got it. That's my gut feeling. I could be wrong. I don't think he got it.
You don't think he's improved from all the interceptions he threw the first couple of weeks?
Well, we'll see. We'll see Sunday. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's going to, just my gut feeling, he's going to throw a few interceptions, 3 or 4. That's just my gut feeling. And going back to the quarterback for the Giants, Danny Dime, he don't get enough. If he got more protection, he'd be a better quarterback. His protection is terrible.
Yeah, it's tough to play quarterback in the NFL when you're getting hit that much, or when you don't have clear lines to throw the ball.
He's got a great arm, and you don't have time to throw the ball.
Yeah, and when they can put guys in the box, knowing that you can't run it with no O line, and then they can blitz you, it makes it extremely difficult to operate.
And I think they made a mistake with Barkley too. I mean, he's good, but they could pick up plenty of fullbacks at the end, and not on the second round. They made a mistake with him too.
Yeah, I'll never get over that. I remember seeing that Saquon Barkley, no matter what. And I'm like, you can't go into a draft saying that you're taking a running back too, no matter what. There has to be some conversations about maybe we could get an offensive lineman or a D-end or someone. I don't know. Running back is a tough position to draft that high. When the Cowboys did it with Ezekiel Elliott, I didn't like it. I wanted Jalen Ramsey. They took Ezekiel Elliott at 4, and then they ended up paying him $90 million. And I'm still kind of looking at Jerry Jones and the Cowboys like, what was that for?
And I still think the Giants got to get rid of their general manager, and the Jets got to get rid of their general manager. They both don't know how to pick players. That's my gut feeling. That's all I got to say. Thank you for listening.
No problem. Thanks for calling, Pete. Yeah, it starts at the top. It starts at the top. With any business, with any organization, it starts at the top. And I know there's a lot of fans calling for Gettleman to get out of the way, and I think he's good as gone. I don't think there's anything that can save his job. We talked about that. We talked about that earlier in the show. And when you talk about Joe Douglas, I feel like he's got a little bit more of a leash and a little bit more time. But it's just been a disaster. And honestly, man, being a fan of a team that's not in New York, New Jersey, I wish better for the football around here. I wish both teams were competitive. I wish one of these teams was going to get in the playoffs in this year that is expanded, where we've got an extra wild card team, where we've got an extra week to of the season. Like, I wish the Jets or the Giants were going to be able to go into the playoffs, but it's not looking like they will. So I guess we got to root for New York's best team, which is the Buffalo Bills. Back to the phone. Do I know this guy? I definitely know this guy. Milton from Brooklyn wants to talk Yankees. This has got to be my Bleacher Creature brother on the Fan.
Yes, sir.
I've been waiting for the call. I've been waiting to see your name pop up.
I got a new job, so my hours are all crazy. So I finally got home early enough to give you a call. And once again, you know, let me just say congratulations. I know you're going to do great. And I said Yankees, but, I mean, you're talking football. I could switch it up. I mean, you know.
Whatever you want to do, Milton, you're the man. You got it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you talk about these two teams, I think what I find mind-boggling about the Jets in particular, since, you know, I've been a fan for so long, it's the – like, who are the people that they hire to scout? Like, I just don't get it. Like, how do you get every pick? Like, how do you not know how to find one gem in the fourth or fifth round? You have actual people watching. Do they have people at college games? Or do they just wait till the last minute and Google it like us? And it just feels that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I feel like the Jets do? And I, honest to God, Keith, I really think they do this. I think they focus so much on that first pick, which, by the way, is usually the easiest pick. I mean, you know these guys are who you're going to take in the first round. But you have to put an emphasis on who you're going to find in the third, fourth, fifth round, because that's how you make a great team. Like, Seattle finds Cham Cancellor, and they find, you know, they find all these guys in the fourth, fifth round that contribute to the team.
Yep.
We don't have anybody that scouts that finds gems like that. So as a Jets fan, you know what? I don't know what to say. It's just, unless they get rid of the whole scouting team, I don't care who's the GM. Somebody's not scouting right. So that's what I got to say about the Jets.
It's Keith, tough watching
the Yankees, Keith. Oh, you want to say something, Keith?
It's tough watching the Jets miss. I just, like, Googled a pick. So, like, Vernon Golston in 2008. Like, everybody knew that he was just a bodybuilder, and the Jets take him sixth overall. And they all
– wait. He was better off going in a WWE draft.
And there's a bunch of other ones. You talk about, like, later rounds, like Ashton Davis. They drafted him. And, like, now,
dude,
you need...
They took a field goal kicker, a kicker, with a second-round pick once. I mean, come on, who does that?
Yeah, no, you can't. I mean, there's too many good players. And then you have Bill Belichick drafting in your division, who you have to face, and he's always finding value in the draft. He's always finding guys later in the draft
never,
and then developing
what?
Them, and then they turn into contributors for his team.
Yep, and what kills me is we don't have our own stadium. What kills me is we seem like they're the only team in football that never throws to the tight end. Like, I watch every game last night. How many times did we see tight ends catching touchdowns last night?
Oh, yeah, Dawson Knox had two. Dalton Schultz had one.
And the Jets literally never throw to the tight end. Anyway, I just want to switch real quick, so I don't want to be on too long. I'm going to try to, you know, be a regular caller because you are my man. And let me tell you something. The Yankees is just sitting back. I don't know I don't know what their plan is now. I don't know what they – I think, are they trying to get people on the cheap? Are they trying to
– I think they're waiting it out.
Waiting for what? You know what you need? You need a center fielder. You need a shortstop, okay? And you got to know who you want. Go out there and get them. Stop trying to be on the cheap. This is the Yankees. Go back to being an evil empire. Catchman, stop being embarrassed that you're only good when you spend money. We all know that. You're not a good GM. You're a good GM? How? You got a team with the most money, basically, and yes, you make the playoffs. But guess what? You're supposed to make the playoffs with that much money.
Right.
And what's happening with the Yankees right now, I feel like they're building a team to make the playoffs now, and that's it. And they're giving this crap to the owner, and he's believing year that it's a crapshoot. When you get to the playoffs, anybody can win. It's going to take a hot streak. It's no more. We either win or nothing. Now it's, you know what, analytics. Let's make the playoffs, and from there, anything can happen. So now he's got this owner thinking that he's doing a great job because he makes the playoffs every year. Well, guess what? You better make the playoffs every year with all that money you're spending. You're building a wrong team, all right-handed team. You got to, you know, mix it up.
Yep.
And find people that are going to play different positions. Find people who get on base. Find people who could. We don't need all these home run hitters. We all know this. We just repetition. And I'm getting all crazy here because once I start talking about the Yankees, you know how my blood goes up. But I just think that this team is sitting back too much. Be a little more aggressive. Focus on the guys that you want and get them. And you know what? I don't know who you want. But I'm telling you right now, they better get a shortstop and a center fielder. Like, I want to get Martel, either one of the Marte, Sterling Marte, or the guy from the Diamondbacks.
Kettle Marte.
Cattell Marte. Sign Kettle one. I don't know what shortstop you want, Carrera or Seager. I'll take either one of them. And you know what? I would definitely try to get a first baseman. Bring back Rizzo or trade for Olsen. I know what I want to do. But does Cashman know what he wants to do? And I don't think so.
I don't think anyway, he knows Keith, yet. And
let me just
go ahead. You got it, cowbell man.
I'm a little hyped up, man. I just came from work, and I'm just excited that you're on the radio. I can't believe this, that we're gonna be doing this a lot, and I appreciate you giving me this airtime. I'm just gonna say, God bless you. I wish you the best. Merry Christmas, and enjoy this new adventure of yours. And I got your back, and a lot of us do. And you're definitely gonna represent us in a good way, in a great way. And the only thing I don't wanna, the only thing I'm gonna say is. The Knicks and the netting, me and you, is going to be ugly one day.
Coming up real soon, man. Thanks, right, Milton. Hey, we got to go to break, but we'll be right back here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.